4 or 5 years ago, I got to go mountain climbing for my first time and last time ever. We had to climb up this mountain, and then at one point we had a chance to actually, like, with the harness and everything attached to us, like, climb the rock face, and see how fast and far we could get in a short amount of time before they would bring us back down. I have a friend who didn't realize until she got to the top that she was deathly afraid of heights. You shouldn't, like, ask yourself those questions before you climb up. That's just a word to the wise. Because she got up there, and then it was time for her to come down, and she couldn't. She was completely frozen in terror. People at the base are yelling up at her all sorts of instructions, which she can't hear, because she's frozen in terror, clinging as if her life depended on it to this rock wall. Now, I have to explain to you that the rock wall we had climbed was probably only 10 feet high. It wasn't like a whole mountain. Even if she had fallen, there were enough people standing at the base that we would have cushioned her fall. She would have been fine. But she didn't know that. She was terrified, clinging to the top of that. The problem was that you can't actually get down out of the situation which has you terrified unless you let go, which is the thing that terrifies you. If I had thought in time for Bulletin to have a sermon title, I would have named this sermon, The Things We Cling To. You see, our Advent focus is on hope, peace, joy, and love, characteristics of God's kingdom, the things that we're waiting for, that we're looking forward to, that when Jesus returns, when there is only God's kingdom, that will be the nature of what we live in. It will be hope and peace and joy and love, life everlasting. Today is all about peace. Last week was all about hope. Peace. The problem is we can't actually know real peace until we stop clinging to the things in our lives that are not Jesus. We can't let go. We can't know Jesus unless we let go of that mountaintop or whatever it is in our lives that we find ourselves clinging to. I invite you this morning to think about what it is in your life that you cling to. We've been talking the last few weeks more on a global scale, looking at all the horrors of the world around us. And certainly there are people in our world who cling to power and influence. I'm convinced that that's the reason that we have wars, the wars that wreck our globe and the wars that wreck just households. People clinging to power and influence. We have people who cling to money or the security that is represented by money. We try and get more and more of it so that we can be safe. We cling to our families sometimes. We cling to our past. This is a big one. We cling to what was to such an extent that we can't see what will be. We cling to our families, even if they're not good for us. We cling to the expectations we maybe have about what should come. What's the problem with all of this? Now, the Sunday school answer is, well, Elaine, you just told us, if we cling to those things, we can't cling to Jesus, then we need to cling to Jesus. But let's stop for a moment. See, the thing is, we are defined by whatever we're clinging to in our lives. My friend was clinging to this mountain. And as she hung there, clinging with her fingertips and her toes, trying desperately not to fall, while at the same time knowing she had to come down, but she couldn't, the reality was she couldn't see the ropes that were holding her. She couldn't see the really strong guy standing at the bottom holding the rope. She couldn't see the great cushion we all would have made at the bottom had she fallen. She couldn't see anything but the rock in front of her face, and all she knew was cling to it for everything that she's worth. If you're clinging to your past, all you can see is what was. You can't see what might be. You maybe think you're looking ahead, but it's just a repetition of what was. And if you can't see ahead of yourself, you can only see behind, then you're never going to be able to shape what's coming. You're always going to approach life almost like a victim, governed and shaped by the past, never taking charge of your life, shaping what's to come. If you are clinging to expectations you have for your life, you won't be able to see what is here and now. If you're expecting the worst all the time, I can pretty much guarantee you don't see all the good things that are going on in your life. Think about the Jews of the first century or the end of the time just before Jesus came. They had expectations of a Messiah. Expectations of a Messiah come on a great white horse, wielding a sword, conquering the Roman Empire, setting up Israel again as the kingdom of all kingdoms in the world. And because that was their expectation, they couldn't see reality, which was Jesus, a baby born in a manger, grown up in a humble family, hanging out with all the people on the margins of society. The expectations blocked their ability to see what was. They were clinging to those. Those things gave them hope. Last week we talked about how that vision of the future gives us hope. But if we cling to that vision, if we cling to those expectations, then we become blind to what is. Now, clinging to something isn't always bad necessarily. The point is to choose what we cling to. A number of years ago, I joined, Ann Reed had done a learn to run group where you all gather together and you walk really slowly when it starts and then you walk faster for a minute and then you walk slow again. And it graduates up until you run for a minute or you run for 2 minutes. And the goal is that by the end of it, you're running the whole time. Learn to run. What I learned was that I don't want to learn to run. There were points in time when I was running and I thought I was going to die. I could barely breathe. My legs hurt. My shins hurt. The group was ahead of me because they wanted to learn to run. And I thought, this minute, this 60 seconds is never going to end. I'm going to be stuck in a time loop forever, dying. And so somebody gave me the advice. They said, pick a lamppost where you think maybe the 60 seconds is, but just pick a lamppost. And all you have to do is get to the lamppost. That was the best advice. If you're ever so silly as to decide to try and learn to run, do that. Because then what happened was I clung with my eyes to the lamppost. I reached out and it was all I could see was the lamppost. All I have to do is get there. Now, I would have been in trouble if a car had come by or there had been an intersection, because all I could see was the lamppost. And I clung to it as a lifeline, knowing that when I got to the lamppost, I could stop, breathe again, walk before they made me run again. Sometimes it's good to cling to something. When you're climbing a mountain, it actually is a good idea to cling to the rock, letting go every once in a while. But if you don't cling, you don't climb. There are times in our lives when it is important to cling to something. The problem is with what we cling to. So how do we know if what we're clinging to is a good thing or a bad thing? Well, some things are obvious, aren't they? I think that one of the reasons that Jesus was mostly surrounded by the hurting people in his culture, by the people who were living as addicts, as victims of abuse, who were oppressed by everybody else, who were nobodies, who were untouchables in society, was because they knew that the things they were clinging to cope weren't any good. So Jesus came along and they knew, let go of that stuff so I can cling to Jesus. Those things were obviously bad. If you have found that your life, that you've been clinging to alcohol, or you've been clinging to drugs, or you've been clinging to anything else, to some abuse that has maybe defined you in your life, if you're clinging to those kinds of things, you know those aren't good. You aren't an idiot. You know those things aren't good. It's hard to stop. It's hard to walk away. But you know they aren't good. Imagine that in that, you come face to face with the living Jesus. You're living in first century Israel, and you come face to this guy who just exudes goodness and peace. Like you step into his vicinity, and it's like you just take a deep breath. And you can calm down. You can breathe again. You don't feel like you're dying anymore. I don't think it's any wonder that those were the people who were the first and the most eager to surround Jesus. Because they knew that the things that they were clinging to weren't actually doing any good for them. The people who had the hardest time were the people who were clinging to things that seemed good to them. People who were clinging to power and influence, figuring if they can just get enough of it, they can make the world a better place. Well, we know how that turns in, what that turns into, don't we? We've seen it over and over in parts of the world that are run by dictators, that the rebel comes along, they toss out one dictator, and before long, the rebel has become the dictator. It happens over and over. We know that if we cling too hard to security, we can live for a long time thinking we've got enough insurance, we've got enough in our bank account, we have enough retirement savings, everything's going to be okay. And some people can go years and years, decades, believing that their clinging to their security through money or whatever it is that gives them security is a good thing because they're protected because of it. Some things are really not obvious. Some parents cling to their children. Some children, in turn, cling to their parents. You know, when your child is 2, it's important to know where they are 24/7. You get in trouble if you lose track of your child for very long when they're 2. When your child is 18, if you know where your child is 24/7, you're probably clinging a little bit too tightly. We live in a time when parents are giving their little children pagers and cell phones. Why? Just in case my kid runs into trouble, they can always get a hold of me. Sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds like a good, important thing. Except scientists are discovering that we're already on our second generation of kids that we're raising who have zero problem-solving skills. Because where those who were children before the invention of pagers and cell phones, when we would get in a mess and we had to figure out how to solve it so that we could get home and talk to our parents, these kids don't have to solve it. They pick up the phone, they call mom and dad, they fix it for them. These are parents and children who are clinging to each other. We live in a culture which says family is everything. And I'm not here to tell you dismiss your whole family, get rid of it. But I do wonder if we cling too tightly to our families. Because the thing is, we can cling to good things, but as we cling, we actually choke the life out of the good. That as long as we are clinging, think of my friend hanging off the side of a mountain, clinging for all she's worth. It's different than holding the people you love close. Clinging. What happens is we choke the good right out of them. Almost everything that we cling to ends up bad. If we cling too tightly, we lose a sense of peace. We lose the hope. We lose the joy and the love that Jesus promised us and that we look toward at Advent. The only thing that won't be choked out, the only thing that can result in peace is Jesus. And I know that was a predictable conclusion in a church. But don't let the predictability of that make you shut down the truth of that statement. You see, even when we think of the people that we love in our lives, they are all human beings with human frailties who cannot carry us forever. My niece is almost 8, and she's pretty big, and she still wants to be carried, and we can't carry her. I can pick her up, and then I'd drop her. Maybe if I'd learned to run, I'd be able to carry her longer. But But emotionally, we can't carry each other. We can't do it. Think about marriages where the spouses have made their whole lives about the other person. You're my husband or you're my wife. You will be my everything. It never works. The marriage always falls apart. No one person can be your everything. We need other people in our lives. If we cling only to our spouse, only to our nuclear family, we're going to choke the life out of them. If we cling to our job, if we cling to our education, if we cling to our past, if we cling to our expectations of what should be, all of that is going to fall flat eventually. The only one who can withstand our clinging is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who has the strength to be able to withstand our clinging. And the thing is, what happens when we cling to Jesus is we're not like my friend on the rock wall, terrified, fearing for her life, just holding on with fingertips and toes. We instead turn into the image of a small child, a baby even, being held by the mother or the father in their arms, with no worries in the world at all, absolutely secure in the knowledge that this person who loves them with everything will not drop them. Think about the picture of a baby being held all floppy because they're in a deep sleep. It doesn't even occur to them that they could drop or be hurt. When you cling to Jesus, it turns from a mountaintop experience into that experience of absolute peace. Peace that we can breathe in and relax. Peace like on Christmas Eve when you step outside and the world is silent and the stars are shining and you can just for a moment feel as if time has stood still. All the craziness is done and for a moment you stop and you breathe. Peace like if you get up in the early hours of the morning. Because you want to, not because you can't sleep. But if you get up in the early hours of the morning and it's quiet and fresh everywhere. When we cling to anything else, the result is anxiety and fear, hopelessness. When we cling to Jesus, the result is peace and hope, love, joy. The only way, though, that we can cling to Jesus is if we stop clinging to everything else. We only have two hands. And those hands can only cling to one thing at a time. For my friend to get down to safety, she had to let go of the rock wall, which I'm pleased to announce that she did eventually because she's not still up there. We have to let go of whatever it is we're clinging to so that we can grab on to Jesus.